You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio at the IBSA World Blind Games 2023 in Birmingham. I'm actually on the athletics track because in the middle of the athletics track, they're hosting the archery for the games. And I'm joined by Steve Prowse and Leslie Prowse. Steve is a world champion blind archer and obviously competing at the games this week. Steve, how did you get into archery?
It was about 25 years ago, one of my friends from the university where I was working belonged to a local club, and we just went down and had a go just to see if I could do it, basically. And we didn't have any adaptions at the time, so I literally just stood in front of a target. They told me what to do and pulled the arrow bow back and let the arrows go. And it sort of developed from there over the years. So.
And how does it work for a blind person? I've tried it before at school and I had a lot more sight, so I was able to just about see the sight and then just about see the blob of the target. But for you, I think you're B2, B3. How does it work for you?
Everyone's sight is different, and obviously everyone in the RNIB knows. So we've all got different conditions. And so like I've got retinitis pigmentosa, and I don't think anyone with that condition sees the same. And it's very changeable day to day, so it's very light orientated. So this morning it was like really sunny, so it goes completely, and then as we are now it's a bit better, it's about ideal conditions now, and then it'll go a bit darker and it'll go again. But some of the other lads on the GB squad, they've got different conditions and they see opposite to what I do. So I've got the central bit and Nick has got the peripheral bit, so we sort of get by together with it, really. As far as the archery is concerned, we all use a tactile stand, so it's basically a tripod or a light stand or any sort of contraption that you can manufacture yourself if you want, and it's got a basic pin on it, so it's like a normal bow sight, but instead of the actual sight piece of it, it's got a pin on it or an arrow or anything you want that goes on the back of your hand.
Okay.
And then you've got foot locators. Again, there's a massive amount of difference in how people do it. It's very adapted to that individual. So some people prefer like a firm cage that their feet go into. I don't have any of that. I just have a round marker that goes on and I can move my feet backwards and forwards as I want then. But everyone's different. Everyone's got their own setup. It's really important when you first start, and this is one of the problems with archery, is trying to find somewhere or a local club that's willing to support visually impaired and blind people to do it, because not many people know about visually impaired archery to start with, and even less know how to coach or help or what's what. So I'm really lucky, because one of the intrinsic parts of VI archery, and this never gets said enough, is your spotter. And I hate the word spotter because it doesn't encompass anything like what that individual does for you. And you build up a relationship. Obviously, it's my wife that spots for me, but for other people, you build up a relationship with that individual, and they get to know your shot, they get to know how you're feeling, what your setup is, if there's something going wrong, plus obviously the safety bit, which is sort of the main bit that they do in competitions.
So, Leslie, as a spotter, what's your role with Steve?
Everything that he needs doing, apart from the shooting. So, making sure that he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, making sure he's got everything that he needs when he's about to shoot, keeping him calm, checking his equipment, making sure it's lined up. When the people use different contraptions to Steve, it's a lot harder, because the way that they have to do the foot locators and to set up, it's really, really difficult, because once that's set up with those people, they can't move it. Whereas, because this has been developed over the years, Steve used to have wooden foot locators and everything, just like everybody else. But over the years, we've developed different things. Well, I say we, that's the royal we. We've developed different things to make it more comfortable for him, so he can move his body now quite easily. Whereas when you've got a set foot locator, you can't. So yeah, I just have to do everything and get him cups of coffee and everything else.
In competitions as well, it's really important, because we've got a they have a timing clock that obviously we can't see, and it beeps to start you, and it will beep at the end, but you've got no idea how long you've got to go, especially if you get to the head-to-heads and the finals. You've got like 20 seconds per arrow.
Yeah, we can hear some beeps going off in the background as people are practicing. Yeah. And I think you shoot, is it 3 hours each time?
On a normal, the qualifying rounds, you shoot 6 arrows at a time. When you get through to the head-to-heads, you shoot 3 arrows, and whoever wins that set gets 2 points. 1 point for a draw, and the first one to... It's normally 6 points because you don't get a draw very often, but the first one to six wins that match.
But that when you're on the head-to-heads, it's not... You don't just shoot 3 arrows. The first archer shoots an arrow, the second archer shoots an arrow. So it depends... you've got to be ready because the archer that you're against could be a really fast shooter, and then as soon as he finishes, you can then shoot.
Yeah, the buzzer goes, and then from that buzzer, you've got 20 seconds, and that's it.
Gosh. And how do you think, as world champion, I mean, how do you think you're going to fare through this game, Steve?
Absolutely no idea. Over the, I suppose it's been the last 5 to 6 years, the standards have rocketed. I think because different nations are getting on board with it now, and the last World Championships was the biggest one they'd ever had. You know, there was multiple different countries there, various archers. And there's talk of, at some point, going into the Paralympics. I think some of the countries now are looking at pushing the sport. So, I mean, the standards have gone up and up and up. You've got probably 5 people that are probably expected to get into the finals.
Yeah.
But you never know. I don't know half the people here at the moment, so we've never shot against them before. Mm. So there might be a dark horse in there somewhere.
Maybe. And it is one of those things that's really difficult because Stevie's 4 times world champion. He's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, people will say with the best meaning in the world, oh, you'll be fine, you'll bring home the bling. You never, ever know.
And it's fantastic to have the archery here as part of the IPSA World Blind Games. It's a great opportunity to showcase archery to other blind and partially sighted people who might be thinking, oh, I might have a go at that. I've seen it at the Paralympics and stuff, and I might want to get into it. So this is a great opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the British Blind Sport have got their own archery section. So, I mean, if anyone's sort of thinking about starting up, get hold of the BBS archery section, or... Archery GB have a lot of information on there, but I think it's a bit hit and miss sometimes as to, for club wise, where you can actually go. But I think it is becoming better over the years. So.
Well, good luck for the competition, Steve and Leslie, and thank you very much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.